This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. I'm really happy to be here with you today and to have a very special guest. Her name is Emily Thoreau-Thretch, and she's going to be talking about how she helps people deal with grief in a positive way so they can experience happiness even while grieving. Emily has had two husbands die, and she discovered that writing helped her explore what she was experiencing, and she wanted to teach others how to deal with grief, so she's the author of Loving and Living Your Way Through Grief. She's also a certified Happy for No Reason trainer. Welcome to the show, Emily. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure completely. So tell us a little bit. You did lose two husbands. I can't imagine how devastating that was for you. Would you tell us a little bit of how you were able to deal with all that grief?
Well, grief is always a challenge, especially when it's fresh, when it first starts out. And at the beginning, right when you lose someone, it's very important to not have any expectations of yourself, to just take really good care of yourself, to pay attention to whatever your needs are. If you need to go lie down and take a nap, then do that, whatever it is. And if you don't want to talk to people, you don't have to. So it's very important to take care of yourself for a while, always actually, but especially right at the beginning of grief. And then when you start feeling like you want to get further along, to move forward, then you can start kind of lightening up, still take really good care of yourself. But in my situation, it was different both times, because the first time I really didn't know what to do and spent a lot of time, a whole lot of time by myself. I'd go to work and come home and sit. And I was trying to figure out what to do, but wasn't sure. And that was kind of a challenge. Where with the second time, when I had been through it before, and with my second husband, we had spent our whole relationship together really practicing living in the moment, so that we didn't concentrate on what had already happened. We didn't concentrate on what was going to be in the future. We just really paid attention to right now. Things were good and beautiful, and we were grateful for that.
Wow.
That made it a lot easier.
Yes. I love the part that you said about taking extra special care of yourself. Sometimes women, we're not taught, I wasn't anyway, to take care of myself or to practice any self-care. I didn't even know that those two words could be strung together. And I'm glad that you brought that point up, because maybe people want to visit or want to call, and they have the best intentions. But like you say, if you need to rest or you're not ready to speak to people, that's a really good boundary to set. Thank you for sharing that with us. So you talk about it's possible to be happy even in times of loss and grief. So tell us a little bit about how you discovered that.
Well, what happens is it's really easy to go kind of down a rabbit hole of kind of feeling sorry for yourself and not being able to do anything else. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the point where I realized that I was doing that, I thought I need to do something different, because I really don't want to be miserable for the rest of my life. It doesn't mean that I'm not still grieving. It just means that I want to be able to see some happiness somehow, to do something. And so I started working on it, and I didn't really know how to start off with, but I wrote to myself a lot about it. It wasn't writing for anybody else to read at that point, but I'd write about what would make me happy. And one of the things I remembered was when my aunt had been in a terrible car accident where her husband was killed and she almost died and had a really long recovery. And I went to visit her at her house one day, and she had the movie Patch Adams And I said, oh, that's a good movie. And she said, I watch it every day. I said, every day? And she goes, yeah, it makes me laugh. And I really need to laugh right now. And that was such a wonderful message to me, to pay attention to what does make me happy and do that. And that really helped me be able to turn that corner and see it's really okay for me to be happy. I think we have the expectations that we're supposed to just stay sad forever after. I'm sure they don't still do this, but their history was that when the man in the household died, that all the women in the household had to wear black and stay inside the house for the rest of their lives, period.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I thought I don't have to live that way, and I need to be grateful for that and take advantage of what my situation is. Even if it's one of the things I started doing was watching Hallmark movies on TV, and that was something I hadn't done before. But the Hallmark movies were always had the same plot. They always had a happy ending. Everybody always ended up happy. And I didn't have to think about them because I knew what the plot was.
Right.
So, and I graduated from that. But to start off with, it was really good because I didn't want to think. I just wanted to be able to smile occasionally and then build up from there. And I did practice smiling, too. And I know this probably sounds kind of funny, that I would stand in the mirror and see what I looked like when I smiled, because I realized I could feel on my face that I hadn't been smiling in a long time, because when I would smile, it kind of hurt, kind of like when you exercise a muscle for the first time in a long time. So I started doing that, and that kind of made me laugh. I thought, how silly is this that my face hurts because I smiled? So I started working on that, too. And once I realized how much better I was feeling by doing things that made me happy, I was real anxious to share that with other people that were dealing with loss so that they could have a better life, too.
Yeah, I love the things that you shared. And, you know, I'm of Cuban descent, and my mother and father still subscribe to that thought pattern that after someone dies, you have to wear black. So we, even us, when our uncle died, my sister and I had to wear black initially, and then not for too long, you know, maybe for the first week. But my mother went through the whole thing, graduating from black and white to gray to there's all these colors. And I thought that was just so odd and so hard, you know. It kind of makes you stay in that place of grief instead of being able to move on. So
that's
I love
right.
all the things that you said. Patch Adams is a hilarious movie, and I can understand why that would make anybody happy. So what do you believe is a first step for a person who wants to begin to heal from grief and loss, but at this point they're staying in the house like you did with your, you know, they don't want to be around people. It's really hard for them. So how do you get out of that pattern?
Well, for me, what I did and what I encourage other people to do, I've got writing groups that do this, that come to me for this, is to write. And you'll go, oh, but I'm not a writer. Well, it doesn't make any difference because nobody else is going to read it but you. You're just exploring your thoughts on paper and writing them down, and it gives you an opportunity to get the sadness kind of out of your head and onto the paper. And you'll find that the more you write these things that you're sad about, the less you have to write them. For instance, when Jacques died, before he died, he had a heart situation, and it was sudden. We had no idea. He had a problem with his heart, and he had to go in and have bypass surgery and unexpected. And it was just for like 2 weeks, it was one disaster after another that was terrifying. And when somebody would ask me about it, I would tell them the whole story from the very beginning to the end. And I found that the more I told that story, the shorter it got. And when it finally got to the point where I could say, well, he had a heart issue and he had to have bypass surgery and he did a lot better after that. When I realized that, then I realized that I had released this need of staying in that panic and sadness by saying it enough. And if you start just writing whatever it is that you experienced over and over to yourself, your brain's going to get tired of doing that. And your story will get shorter, and it's not that the story goes away, but you don't have to have it be the dominant thing in your life right then. And that's a great way to start bringing yourself up into being able to kind of breathe again.
Right, exactly. And so what about getting out of the house? Once you start your writing and hopefully you're feeling better, what are some good tips for actually going out and doing things, or maybe exploring things or meeting people?
Well, right now I would say stay home until we get through this bit on the pandemic right now. That
well,
when you do get out of the house, it's important to go where you want to and do what you want to do. For instance, I knew that when Jacques died, we lived in a community where everybody knew us. And if I go out, I was just constantly, I felt like I was dodging people because I didn't want to talk to them. So make sure that you go someplace where you feel safe and you feel comfortable. Maybe go to a movie where you're sitting where nobody's going to be coming up and talking to you. Or make up your mind when you go out what you're going to do when you do run into somebody. And you can, when they say, how are you doing? Have an answer for that, because people say crazy things the first time they see you. They're not quite sure what they're supposed to say. Right. And if just be kind to them, because they want to help. They want to be kind to you, and they just aren't sure how.
Mm-hmm. I love that you're saying that, because people mean well. They're not trying to hurt you, but sometimes they say the most ridiculous things to you. I remember when my
mom really
had
do.
I remember when my mom passed away, one of my dear friends said to me, the first time she talked to me after it happened, she goes, well, you're an orphan now, because my dad had passed away years before. And I thought, that's what you want to say to me? And it's like, oh, thank you very much. So you're right. People say the craziest stuff. So
I had that exact experience, and it was a little hard to get over because I hadn't thought of myself that way before. And I finally had to think to myself, okay, there's still my mom and dad, whether they're alive or dead. You know,
yeah.
Nobody else was my parents, and I still can love them and hold them in my heart for the rest of the time I'm alive. So I don't feel like I'm an orphan, so I don't have to accept that, even though somebody said that to me.
I so agree with you, Emily, because I didn't feel like an orphan either. I'm thinking an orphan is a little kid who lost their parents and no one can take care of them. But my parents took
yeah.
care of me until I became an adult. And so I'm glad that you said that. At that time, I didn't speak it out the way you did, but I felt it in my heart. So thank you for saying that. Very good. So what do you think is the main message that you want to bring to the public?
I think it's important to for the public to be kind to people who are dealing with loss. And I know that sounds like kind of a big statement, so let me explain it a little bit. When Jacques died, Jacques and I had been very prominent in the community. We knew just about everybody in the community. Like I was saying, well, I couldn't go any place without running into people.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like all of a sudden, all my invitations stopped. Things that I'd been invited to in the past, I wasn't invited to. When I went places, I could see people kind of off on the side, you know, kind of talking to each other and looking at me kind of sideways and like, oh, she's supposed to be out yet, you know, judging, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they just didn't know what to say, so they chose not to say anything. Like if they were having a few people over for dinner and they normally would have invited us together in the past, they didn't invite me because they didn't want me to be, they didn't want me to rain on their party. And that makes it a very lonely place to be when someone's grieving. So if you know somebody who's grieving, reach out to them and be kind to them, however you can. Do something to let them know that you know that they're still alive and that you still love them and you still enjoy their company.
Yeah, that's really good. Thank you for sharing that. Wow, that was a very painful experience for you. We're going to take a quick break right now to hear from our sponsors. But if you want to call in and ask Emily a question, the lines are open and you can dial 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start dialing now and we'll be right back.
90% of money-making strategies won't work for you because they weren't designed for you. The truth is that you already are a manifesting master. You just need the tools to channel that power. Buy Daniel Mangena's The Money Game for just $1 today, and you'll also receive 3 free bonuses worth $397. See, you've already manifested $396 without even trying. Start your manifesting journey the right way by going to dreamwithdan.com/moneygame.
Feeling exhausted, uninspired, blah, it may be a sign from your soul. She wants change. I'm Nicole Eisler, spiritual coach and intuitive. I help women slay the world in numerous ways, own their queen status, and win in life. Discover more at www.pureenergywellnesscenter.com. Ready to make changes? Take the next step, queen, at www.pureenergywellnesscenter.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Emily Thoreau-Threat, talking about having lost two husbands and how to deal with grief. So, Emily, you have a book that you wrote. I'd love to talk about that now. It's called Loving and Living Your Way Through Grief. Could you tell us a little bit about how this developed for you and why you wanted to be out to the public?
Well, to start off with, I'm a writer. I have taught writing at the university level for many years, and I have published 3 college textbooks. So writing is something that I kind of, it's my go-to. It kind of comes naturally to me. And I found myself writing a lot after both husbands died, actually. And about 7 months after Ron died, his very dear friend just suddenly dropped dead. And they were family friends that we live in Maui, or I live in Maui now, and at that time we lived in California. And they lived close to us, and our families would do things together. And I was so concerned for his wife because he used to call my husband Dad. Their age difference was that big. And I knew that his wife had no idea what to do at that moment because it was a total shock to her. So I thought, what would I want somebody to tell me if I was in that situation? So I sat down and wrote her a big, long letter about these are things you need to be concerned about right now. These are the things you don't need to be concerned about and you don't need to do. And I got it to her right away so that she could have it. I knew she wouldn't be on the computer or talking on the phone. So I wrote it all out so that it would be there and she could refer back to it if she needed to. And she told me later that that letter just made all the difference in the world to her because she hadn't thought about any of the things that were in the letter before. She hadn't had a reason to.
Right.
So I thought, I've got to do something else. So I thought, what would I like for support in her situation? I thought, I'd love somebody to keep in contact with me. I'd learned that after Jacques died and people weren't keeping in contact with me. So I decided instead of like sending a big bunch of flowers to the funeral, instead I would send her a card every week for the first year.
Aww.
And when I decided to do that, I thought, well, I better sit down and see if I can think of 52 things to write instead of worrying about it all year long. So I did, and I sat down and I wrote it out, and I was really happy with that. And I started sending them to her, and she was very appreciative of what I was sending in my notes to her. And I got to thinking about it, and as a writer, I thought, you know, I have an outline for a book. It's got 52 chapters in it. And I just thought, I can do this. You know, I love to write, and I would love to write about all the different subjects that were in all the different cards. So I started writing. I got an agent, found a publisher, and my book came out in January. And I've had really good response to it.
Wow, what a lovely story about how you got the inspiration for your book. And what a lovely idea, like you said, instead of the flowers, to have this very special personal touch. I just love that. What beautiful inspiration that is, Emily. Wow. Really.
Thank you. I know people don't get things in the mail anymore except for advertisements and bills.
Right.
We're so focused on thing and emailing and things that it's really kind of special. When I did the release party for my book. Of course, it was virtual because of the times we're living in right now. But
right.
she recorded a little video for me congratulating me on the book. And she held in her hand, she held up the 52 cards. She had them all in her hand. She'd saved every single one of them. And she said she still refers back to them because they were so meaningful to her. And she learned so much in little bites throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful. So, you know, there's all different kinds of loss. We've been talking about loss because we lose somebody through death, somebody that we love dearly. But this last year and a half, we also have been dealing with loss, different kinds of loss, not being able to do things or go places or have things be the way we like them to be. Do you have a word for the audience about that?
Yes, because it's crazy right now. People have lost jobs. They've lost homes. They've lost being able to be with families or with friends. And they've lost pets. There's just so many different kinds of losses that are having right now between the hurricanes and the floods and the fires. It's just nuts. So the thing that's really important is to remember your priorities. What's the very most important thing to you? And usually, if you really think about it and maybe write about it to get to this point, you'll discover that your most important thing is probably love. And how can you give love? How can you receive love? And what's important? One of my friends had her house destroyed in one of those California fires. Not only her house, but all of her animals and her husband's businesses in the house, and it was just all gone.
Wow.
And she said, you know what? We have each other, and we love each other, and we can build another house.
Yeah.
And the business was a concern. It was something to do, but it all boiled down to dealing with it by dealing with love. And love is so important in our lives, and you start with self-love. When you really take good care of yourself in any of these situations. You know, if you lose your job, there's always another job or another way to deal with things. And if you can keep your heart open to those positive things instead of being panicky and shutting yourself off from other people, then that really helps.
Yeah, really well said. I love that. Yeah, it's true. And I love that you chose love because that's something that's in all our hearts and we just have to remember to spread it. You know, sometimes it seems like people's patience is worn thin, you know, as you look around and maybe read some things on local, like I'm on Nextdoor and people seem to be very short with each other lately, but we need it's like, what the heck? How is it going to help for you to be rude or cut somebody off in traffic or whatever or be mean? That doesn't help our situation. So I love that you're saying love. Love yourself, number one, and begin to spread out the love to your loved ones and then to everybody that's around you. Beautifully said. So
that's
let's
right.
talk about for a second about how to get a hold of you and your book.
Well, my book is traditionally published, so you can buy it any place that books are sold, wherever your favorite place is to buy books. It's, of course, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and the big places, but other places have it too. And it's also available on Kindle and audiobook, so whatever your preference is in reading a book or hearing a book. It's all available there. And you can get a hold of me and learn a lot more about me and what I do on my website, which is the same as the name of my book. It's lovingandlivingyourwaythroughgrief.com. And my email address is the same, too. It's emily@lovingandlivingyourwaythroughgrief.com. And I've always got lots of things going on. I have a membership organization that helps people as they're grieving. I've got a blog that you can get every week. There's lots of things you can do, and you're welcome to call me if you'd like me to speak someplace. Right now it's all virtual, but I do speaking, and I'm happy to do that. So delighted to hear from you, and you can contact me anytime.
Wonderful. So it's lovingandlivingyourwaythroughgrief.com is Emily's website, and you connect for everything for her through there. Very good. So we're going down to the last few minutes of the show, Emily. Is there one last thing that you wanted to say to a listener, something that's deeply on your heart today?
Right now, I am so concerned about what's happening with between the natural disasters that are happening and the pandemic. Take good care of yourself and take good care of your loved ones. Do whatever it is that you need to do to be safe, because you don't want to find yourself in a position of grieving when you could have done something to prevent it. So be really, really good to yourself and to your loved ones right now. Enjoy every moment.
Yeah, I think that enjoy every moment is something that we've kind of learned going through this. It's easy to begin to take things for granted. It's kind of human nature, right? You have this, you have that, you have this kind of lifestyle. And so this is what we know and what we have, and we like it and we enjoy it, but we don't really realize how blessed we are, and how many things we have around us or to do, et cetera, that are such a blessing in our life. And then life comes along and those things are stripped from us and we're like, wow, even the littlest of things now are not available. And you're like, wow, that's really hard and interesting. But the bottom line is, I think being thankful for everything we have. I mean, we're heading towards Thanksgiving really soon. I can't believe that we're coming to the end of the year soon. Being thankful for everything we have, appreciating especially the people in our lives, like you say, Emily, and focusing on that most rather than all the things we used to have but don't, right? And may come back but may not. We may never have that again. Things will be maybe completely different. But there's good things still. There's always good things.
Yes, always.
Yeah, there's always something good to look forward to. So I wanted to say to the listener, this is a live show, but right after it, they will put a replay of it right on the same link. If you know someone who's going through grief, who's lost a loved one, please pass that on to them. And also visit Emily's website, lovingandlivingyourwaythroughgrief.com, or you can email her at emily@lovingandlivingyourwaythroughgrief, and definitely get a hold of the book, which is available everywhere. Any last word, Emily, as we close?
I'm grateful to be able to be here. I'm grateful to spread a little more love around the world, and thank you for listening. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been completely my pleasure, and I'm grateful for having you on the show. So many good things that you spoke of, especially how we really need to focus on love. That was my favorite thing that you said today. It reminds me, there's a lot of things that come at us every day, difficulties, things that happen. We had a power outage here just half hour before we're going to go live, and I'm like, oh, no. But it came back. The power came back within 10 minutes and everything was cool to go. But unexpected things, right? It's just part of life. It's part of living. And we have to remember that love is number one. Yeah, very good. Well, thank you so much, Emily, for being on the show with me. Thank you so much for listening in. Remember, like I said, this broadcast will be available on replay right after. Just go right back to the same link. And also on this link is Emily's website. Right in there if you wish. So thanks for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Have a great rest of your day. Make sure you catch us next time. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell. Broadcasting live from Southern California.